Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, let's get to Samita Los Gatos, who showed her face at the Dubie Awards. Great to meet her in her A's jersey as well. Hey, if I'm not mistaken, was that a Ricky Henderson jersey?
It absolutely was.
Wow, Samita, wow. Wow, 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 wow. How ironic will we meet you? You got your A's jersey, and it's a Ricky Henderson one, and he leaves the world a few hours later. But it was great to meet you, Samita. Great to meet you.
It was really great to meet both of you, and it was a really wonderful event. I really, really enjoyed myself. I stayed around much longer than I intended to because it was a good time.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time to come out. It really means a lot. Thank you.
No, I really appreciate what you guys do. And so I thought the event was really well planned, and it was just a lot of fun. So it was a really nice vibe in there. So it was really, really memorable and a good way to end the year, I think. Just wanted to mention, you know, how much Ricky Henderson did for the game of baseball. I think the kind of personality that he had and the way he played the game, honestly, I think baseball is missing that.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's missing that flair, the eccentricities. You know, everybody's too worried about, you know, their bag and how it's going to play on social media, and nobody wants to kind of go out on a limb anymore. But, you know, he was just unabashedly himself. So there's I think a 30 for 30 on Ricky Henderson. There's a podcast, which is really great, and talks about when he went and played in the minors for a while after he retired, just because he wanted to play baseball. This is how much this man loved the game. And I think we lose sight of that sometimes in the modern sports world, you know.
Totally.
Niners, just real quick, they need to rebuild, guys. I don't know why we're talking about this piece and that piece. They need to strip it down to the studs and start over. And that means you got to look at every single player on the team and see whether or not they're going to fit the vision for what you want to do and where you want to go, and just start over. Because saying, oh, this guy got us to the Super Bowl, or this team did this on, you know, a couple of years ago, I don't think that's going to work. I think you got to go all the way down to the studs and start all the way over.
Wow. Damn.
Wow. Great call, Samita.
Anybody else feel like that? Rip it down to the studs?
I have a buddy, Mark.
I love Yerbeck. You, Samita, but I don't know if I'm ripping it down to the studs.
My buddy Yerbeck, he is convinced that paying Brock Purdy signifies we're kind of rolling back a lot of the same stuff. And
yeah, I don't know if it does. I wouldn't go there yet. I wouldn't assume that Deebo's going to be back. I wouldn't assume that some of these guys are going to be back. I think this roster will look a little different. You have to evolve. That's the NFL. But can you keep Fred Warner around?
Well, I think there's a handful of guys that have to stay.
Right. And this
Fred
is,
and Kittle.
This is Kittle definitely has
I
to
think
stay.
Deebo's going to stay.
I don't know what's going to happen.
He said on his podcast yesterday after the game that he thought it was 25% that he comes back. Now he thinks it's more like 50-50.
Because of that one game yesterday?
No, because he's been hearing from people about, like, there's a lot of they don't know what's going to happen with Brandon Ayuk. They don't know what's going to happen with Ricky Pearsall. And he's still a very important, beloved player in that locker room. And his number is only $17 million next year. It's not that bad.
Yeah, I don't.
So I don't know. I'm just going off Mayoko.
I don't know what they're going to do. I have no feel. Yeah,
for
it. I'm not. I'm going to let that play out. But I'm eager to see what it looks
I'm
like.
I'm just not ready to get rid of Deebo either, though.
Yeah, I want premium players. If I think this whole thing looks differently if Christian McCaffrey's on the football field. We talk about gravity with Stephen Curry all the damn time. Well, the gravity of Christian McCaffrey has sorely been missed.
Yeah, but you can't bank on a 30-year-old running back coming back to life. They need to.
We know that
they
now.
Want him back.
We know
but they
that
need
now.
To have, like, your whole offense can't just be Christian.
No, I'm not even going by that next season. I'm going by this season, where you did plan on having Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
And he comes into camp, and a couple days into camp, you get the calf strain that later leads to bilateral Achilles tendonitis. Christian McCaffrey on his team for this season. And I'm not banking on him being the player that we saw in 2023 at all. That may be done. That's, who knows? That was a dream season for everybody involved.
I would draft a running back.
But Christian McCaffrey for this team this season and what they plan to do on this team was sorely missed.
There's no doubt.
Red zone efficiency woes are directly related to Christian McCaffrey's absence. And then the gravity that he does create for these other guys that can get open and don't have to worry about a linebacker underneath. You know what I mean?
So the irony is they still put up a ton of yards. Like I watched this offense. There is still chunk plays out there.
It's never been easier to get yards in this league.
That's true.
But scoring touchdowns is what separates the good from the great.
Well, and I think that's where I go back to Brock Purdy, Bonte. Like, I don't think his accuracy's been that great or his decision-making in the red zone. Do I love the play calling? Not really. But we expect everyone in the red zone, like, this should be your most creative, wide-open throw for a touchdown. Like, I thought Shanahan schemed up the Saubert touchdown brilliantly. It was a perfectly designed play. The guy was wide open. Boom. It's hard to do that to a defense, have a perfectly wide open guy. Sometimes you got to look off this dude and hit Kittle, who's wide open for a touchdown, and that comes down to execution.
It comes down to execution, and again, I think we don't give – and look, I know a lot of people are going to be doom and gloom on Brock. I hear it. I see it. I read it all. But you got to remember, he had played every game with Christian McCaffrey. That's his guy. And we know how good Christian McCaffrey is. But the music, the sweet music that Brock Purdy and McCaffrey made together in the pass game and a run game, that I can't overlook this team and say, damn, the number one red zone weapon, not only on the 49ers, but possibly in the NFL. There's a short list. There's the Saquons. There's the Lamar Jacksons. There's all these guys in the red zone. Christian McCaffrey was up there. And I think we underrated that loss. We underrated the loss and what his absence would be for this offense. And we're seeing it play out in real time. We are. Let's just look at the red zone numbers. And then Brandon Ayuk, I want to add that. I don't want to forget about Brandon Ayuk. I think he was underrated by a lot of us out here in the Bay Area.
If you just isolated Purdy's play, right? Just isolated his play alone. Has his decision-making been great?
It hasn't been great.
Has his accuracy been as good?
It hasn't been as good. No.
Okay, so that's kind of where I fall.
But the two things he hung his hat on
haven't been as good this year.
But I also don't think it's that simple. Football's not that simple. It's a little more complexity to it. When your offensive line, we just played this out of Richard Sherman. He's talking about getting three new positions. That's Richard Sherman. Well, we got a problem with the offensive line, which is what has led to more scrambling and more indecisions and more trust issues for Brock Purdy. You're playing with Ricky Pearsall, who's not on the field a lot. So there's no chemistry there with Ricky Pearsall. That's a disappointment. We expected a lot more, but when you don't get on the practice field and things happen to you that, you know, let's be face it, he got shot and set him back 6 weeks. So now it's an offseason for Ricky Pearsall. When you don't have all those elements, sure, I'm not saying you need it to be perfect, but I understand why Brock Purdy is struggling. Now, the decision-making could be better. There's no doubt. I'm not exonerating him from that. But at the same time, I'm looking at the team around him saying, damn, this roster is depreciated rapidly in the last 4 months because of all the injuries and the things are happening. So I'm not ready to give up on Brock, I guess is what I'm saying.
I don't think Brock is going to be solid either, but I just think that I'm coming to the reality that he's not as good. Right now, he's not playing nearly as good as he was last year, period.
Can't we see why, though, Shasky?
Yeah, but
can't we see why?
You also still have enough playmakers out there.
I don't know if we have enough playmakers.
Juwan Jennings, George Kittle, and Debo Samuel.
We didn't think those guys
aren't enough.
Debo Samuel just went through a stretch where he had 101 receiving yards in 5 weeks.
He's still a threat.
Debo has not been a threat this year.
Well, he's still a threat.
Juwan Jennings is
having his best season by far, but George Kittle's having a monster year.
But Juwan Jennings having a great season doesn't mean he's a great player. He's just having a good season on this team. Ideally, Juwan Jennings is your number three or number four wide receiver.
I don't understand why everyone is so afraid to just say Brock hasn't been as good.
I said it over and over. Are you not listening?
Stop baking in excuses.
He's not as good. I've said it over and over. He has not been as good. I don't know what. Did I not say that?
How can a Niner fan watch this team and think?
He threw for 313 yesterday behind that offensive line and that receiver core. Debo has not been good this year.
60 yards at the end of that game.
Debo has not been good this year, has he?
Okay, so what?
Debo, what you mean, so what? That's his premium playmaker.
They had the number six rusher number five rusher for 7 weeks. They had a run game going for a while.
They were battling for first place.
And then Isaac Grendel came in, and he was running it pretty well.
Grendel was okay.
They've had moments. They've still put up yards. Grendel
was okay.
The quarterback's been a little like, if you're going to be the number one position in sports, play quarterback, we've got to be able to fairly judge these things.
We and are. Yeah, am I not? Am I not?
Yeah, I think you're am afraid. I not? I think you're afraid to critique them.
No, I'm not. That's the feeling I get. No, I'm not. No, that's because of what you're listening to. I've critiqued them all season. I've critiqued them about yesterday. But I also understand football is not just a one-man sport.
No one said it is.
It's a 53-man sport.
No one says it is.
And so if you don't have, if you have guys playing behind that offensive line, I understand there's going to be struggles.
Yeah, but
there's going to be struggles.
But then how come we don't extend that? For example, when we talk about Bosa, Bosa's been a huge disappointment. No one cares that they have no one else on the D line and he's getting triple teamed. He's been a huge disappointment, independent of the rest of that D line sucks.
What's baked in it with Bosa, in my equation, I won't speak for everybody.
Yeah.
What's baked into it is that Bosa has made multiple excuses.
No question.
And Bosa has shined a light on himself that has made everybody kind of step back and look and say, okay, dude, you got to play well because you're chirping a lot.
Yeah, but independent you're of all excuses. Of that noise, Brock, he has been disappointed.
I haven't heard Brock Purdy make one excuse for the way he's played. I haven't heard him make one excuse.
I don't need excuses. I just don't think he's playing that great.
But if he's not playing great, is he not playing great simply because of we're seeing a massive regression of performance from him? Is it injury related, or is it simply just because there are issues around him?
I think there's a lot internally for him.
I don't think it's just one thing with Brock.
No, I agree with.
And that's why it's like it's hard to really just like really crush Brock for how this season's gone.
Thank you.
Because there's so many things going wrong around him.
I don't think I'm crushing him.
To Shasky's point, though, Brock has not lived up to the standard that he set.
He had a top 10 lock quarterback, and I don't think that today.
I still think we do. I still think we have a guy that you could give the ball to in 2025 and lead this team to a lot of victories. But I also understand that he's not one of the golden four quarterbacks. All right? He's not one of those guys that's just going to put it all on his shoulders and make these happen. He needs his wide receivers to make plays. How many years and how many weeks have we discussed the wide receiver core failing to gain separation? Deebo had a great game yesterday. Thank God he did. Because the previous 5 weeks, Deebo had 101 receiving yards. So when you have Deebo Samuel not making plays, hell, if he makes a play last Thursday night and catches that pass against the LA Rams, we could be talking about a different situation with the 49ers. Now we could be talking about, oh my God, the Dolphin game. They're done. They're not going to the playoffs. Instead, we do that Thursday night the previous week because Debo's dropping passes and he can't get open.
They still had opportunities to win the game and they've had it from 2 months now and the quarterback's had the ball in the second half and he's left a lot on the table.
But he has. He has, and I have not dismissed that whatsoever. But when you say he's got Debo, he's got this, he's got that, well, Debo's been a shell of himself. Ricky Pearsall can't get
Kittle's
open.
Kittle's still an all-timer.
All right, Kittle's having a great year.
All-timer.
But Kittle can't do it by himself.
No one's saying he can't, but like part of when like all these other quarterbacks around the league, forget the top four, just the other quarterbacks. Like, I'm seeing Herbert throw to a Ladd McConkey who just got here, just got into the league, you know? And so, you know, Bo Nix is doing it with a lot of not special around him. Cortland Sutton's a nice player. George Kittle is an all-time player, all-time player. So there are a lot of other situations around the league that I look at and I go, could be worse.
Well, the Chargers and Broncos have premier defenses. The Niners don't.
Well,
that's a big difference.
I thought they held Miami down pretty well yesterday.
but they have a premier defense.
It was 22-19 or whatever, 22-17 with 2 minutes to go and you had the ball. So if you told me my defense was going to hold down Miami's offense to 22, I'd probably take that.
I thought the defense is okay. I thought Miami dictated tempo all day yesterday. I thought that was their game. They controlled, in my opinion, the tempo. Let's go to Rob and San Bruno. Rob, what's happening?
Good morning, fellas. Hey, first of all, I want to say, you know, y'all threw a great event.
Oh, Rob, yeah, thank you for coming through, man.
Thank you
for the kind words, man. It really really touched me what you said Friday.
Oh, no, that's real talk. That's real talk. You too, Shasky. But, you know, like I said, a great event. Met a lot of good people up there. And then Tony, man, whatever she be on, she need to pass that to me because that she be on fire. But, I met a good dude in Tyler. I met OG Gene. I met a few other cats I was talking to. I can't get canaries to my head right now. Richie was a cool cat.
Great guy.
I met the owner, the big man. What's his name?
Oh, Sam.
Great guy.
No, the station director.
Oh, Matt Hagan. Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to have to get in the weight room a little more. He lightweight strong. He's a bully out there, man. He be eating weights, it looks like. Nah, but look, man, hey, Bonte, we got to keep it real, man. There's two games in a row, two must wins in a game in a row, and Purdy throws an interception to lose the game. Come on, man. His stats right now is 17 touchdowns, 14 total turnovers with 10 interceptions and 4 fumbles. That's mediocre as it gets. Now, he has some great throws. He has some great times this year, but he has some bad times this year. When you average it all out, it becomes average. That's the type of quarterback he is. So it is what it is. And then I think people overreacted over the O-line. I'll give Kyle credit with this. Kyle has never really drafted high offensive linemen here except for McGlinchey. And that didn't really – it worked out, but it didn't work out. We wasn't that good, but we won.
Yep.
So I feel like this is Kyle – this is his family's offense. So they know what they want in their linemen. So I leave that up to him. It's the reason why he don't draft big guards in the first round, second round, like that. He knows what he wants out of his offensive linemen. This is scheme, so you got to let him choose that. It's not like a power scheme. Say, just give me the biggest offensive line you got, and we're going to move forward. They do a lot of pulling, a lot of movement, so they got to be agile. So I understand what people don't really understand, because this offense is built off rhythm. The run game and the play action off of that. If the run game ain't working, there's only so many routes the Niners run that they quarterback can actually throw, and teams keen in on that. So you got to let him work that O-line, because it's all about – tricking the defense. That's what this offense is about. You know what I'm saying? But, Purdy, he needs some work. Bosa, look, man, I'm putting him on the trade block. I'm doing everything possible to get two guys. I'm going for Travis Hunter. If we can lose every game from now on, and we can find a way to trade up to get Travis Hunter, or we got to go to Shedeur Sanders. One of those two.
Where are you putting Travis? Are you putting him on defense or offense?
Man, he a natural corner because of his instincts.
He don't
got to depend on the quarterback to get him the ball. But if you need to put him a receiver and run some little stuff, like he can run routes, so I think he can play receiver. But me personally, I like him at DB. I can move him at safety corner because he got good eyes. He got good instincts. So if we can do that, if we can try to move up to get, I want Hunter. But we can get a Shedeur Sanders. I take that too. But I want Travis Hunter. He's a game changer to me.
I would love. I don't see how that happens. I would love Travis Hunter.
The Niners right now would pick number 11 in the NFL draft. Number 11. By the way, the Raiders. How Raider fans feeling? Sport about winning that game yesterday.
Oof. I was hurting for Spadoni yesterday after that Raider win because I know how badly he wanted them to lose that game. Mm.
I was going up against Brock Bowers, Jacoby Myers, and Brian Thomas Jr. And
what are you talking?
What?
You talking fantasy?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I was rooting against all of them.
Good clarification.
Just got to make sure because I can't. I'm not allowed to talk fantasy football. I'm not allowed to talk fantasy football.
So I was watching that game with a keen eye on no one scoring. And when the Raiders scored, I was like, poor Spadoni.